Ask the Podcast Coach for June 6, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's Saturday. It's June. How did that happen? Holy cow.
Crazy.
You turn around and the next thing you know, like, hey, May, we're done. We'll see you, bye. Nice seeing you, May. But welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can get your podcast questions answered live. We are here every Saturday morning at askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday at 10:30. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me, as always, my right-hand man, my toucan Sam. I'm trying to think of other things that rhyme, and I'm just out of it. The one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Good morning, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. We'll be saying Merry Christmas here before long. God, it's just so fast.
Yeah. It's
How many of these we've done from a numbers perspective? Because last time we checked, it was some ridiculous number, and it when you don't mark the numbers, they just fly.
They just fly by. Yeah,
fly by.
It is. Yeah. I think we're in the 80s at this point.
Isn't that crazy?
It
what started is just kind of goofing around.
Yeah,
it's become good. I really look forward to Saturday mornings, and I love hanging out with the chat room. So
yes,
thanks for having me.
Our chat room is rock and roll. I'm behind the scenes. 60, 70. This is show 77.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah. We don't really number them that way. You know, a lot of podcasters number them, and you just never did. And so that's been a good experiment. And can you, because everybody, we've had long talks about numbering conventions.
Yeah.
Do you put it at the beginning? Do you put it at the end? Do you shorten, all those discussions that we've had, by the way, you put them at the end.
Yeah.
And
for the record.
But you've just never numbered these. And I think that's cross the grain for our podcast circles. Everybody else numbers them. So I think that's a good experiment, Dave. And I don't think you have to number them. You only number them for you. I think in most cases, the listeners don't care. They're not like, oh, hey, 73 is out. They don't care. They're just, what's the newest thing? I always look at the date on my phone. Hey, is a new one out? When did it come out? So I don't think they care, but I think we do. So it was good style.
I see. It's always fun doing a live show. I see in the chat room, Daniel said, hey, I think Mixler isn't working. And the answer is correct. Mixler is not working today. It's kind of we're talking about this before we went on the air. I'm like, I haven't touched a button. I've barely been in my office this week. And it's just like, it's live. It's spinning. It's staying there. But I can see here we have no lights blinking. So,
yeah, Mixler, I'm that piece of software crashes consistently on me on a Windows box. So I run it on Windows 7. It should work great. It just periodically, both here at home and the home studio, as well as at work in the work studio. Continuously crashes on me. So I'll be running it. I'll fire it up before we start a podcast and I'll just leave it. And then they've got that funny little round button that you got to push to, to go. I still don't understand that. Yeah.
By all means, don't put anything that says play. That would be way too obvious.
I know. Let's not put a record button there. Like, would make sense. But anyways, and then it just crashes and it's like, hey, Mixler's having trouble. And I thought maybe it was, my PC image is kind of messed up. And then it started doing it to me at work. So that's been a little frustrating with Mixler. While you're trying to fix that. The other thing I've noticed with Mixler, of course, they downgraded. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. They downgraded the A Lot of Us. They gave the premium or the pro or whatever it was a year ago. They just downgraded that. I was a little sad. So my workaround for that really is when you are doing a show that's longer than an hour, I don't ever save anything on Mixler out to the show reel. So when you hit the hour, you just restart the player. And that works out really well, Dave. The listeners are going to miss maybe 10 or 15 seconds. And if you're not paying attention, they might miss a little bit more. But our Mixler numbers listening live are not large enough, even on the Gallup podcast, where we have the potential to get hundreds live. Mixler maybe makes up 3 or 4 people at a time, and that's really manageable. So that's kind of been my workaround on the Mixler deal.
Yeah, it's I'm not going to fiddle with it at this point. I've stopped the stream, restarted it, did a couple things, and it's just like, no, sorry.
You're on Spreaker. You're live on Spreaker.
I'm live on Spreaker. Yeah, Spreaker's on the on our actual web page. If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, that's where you can. We always use Spreaker there, but I know we're also on Mixler because I know Jason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll listen on Mixler. So.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think he said it has better streaming.
It does have better, yeah, streaming-wise, Mixler has better quality. So I like that. I prefer that to Spreaker. Spreaker for audio only, once you've recorded out there, they definitely have the ecosystem to support if someone's going to be in-app listening to stuff. Although their design, they're both their iPhone and Android player, the design is not as intuitive as I'd like it to be. It's more set up. I don't know how it's set up, to be honest with you. I've tried doing it several times. Like, this doesn't make any sense. I'd like it to be more like a podcast player, right? Where you have, you can subscribe and they show up in a list and you can click on them and it drills in. That would make more sense. And I think if Rob Greenlee, I think if Spreaker went more in, along that route, it's just not a great, it's like designed for discovery. Well, you only do so much discovery. Do like Clamor does and have its discovery page, right? Where it's kind of separate and that's the purpose of it. And then when I want to subscribe to them, have a subscribe page. So that's that would be my opinion.
Yeah, I know they've got some things coming. They're going to redo their app. And good.
Maybe they'll fix it.
Yeah, and I think he said they were working on a desktop version the last time I talked with Rob. So. But, hey, this is a call-in show, so if you would like to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. And, again, 347-850-8007. And, or if you're like Jessica and Elsie, you can just send in your question. And so we actually have a question, which is interesting because I'm going to interview them right after the show today. For the School of Podcasting. That's kind of how that came about. Cause I was like, hey, we just got the conversation going. I'm like, you know what? You guys, we should come on. You should come on my show. So here is a question that we all have to deal with. I'm like, this is a great topic just for Ask the Podcast Coach.
Hello, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Guess who's calling today?
It's us.
It's us. There's two of us leaving you voice feedback today because we have a question. Jessica and Elsie from She Podcast. Both of us are calling you because, as you know, we have just launched Podcasting School for Women. And mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's so cool. It's so great. Isn't it great, Jess? It's so fun.
I love it. I love those people.
But anyway, we had a hater.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we had a hater because we were selling the course online. Mm-hmm. I mean, not online. What am I saying? In the course, in our newsletter. Yeah. You know,
via email.
And so we had somebody sign up for our email list, I think, on the one day, right? Just like a day. And then
2 days ago. Yeah.
And then, and then she got an email selling the course. She just happened to sign up for our email list when we're selling the course. And we received kind of a very hateful email back. Right, Jess? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes. Okay. So 2 days ago, she signed up to actually put her show in the She Podcast Women's Directory. And so she got an email back that says, let's get your show in there. And she put her show in, I think, and everything was fine. And then I guess the very next day, she got one email asking people, you know, hey, it's not too late. You can sign up for Podcasting School for Women. So she sent me an email back that said, delete my profile from the site. I did not want to get spammed by joining, and I find it offensive to charge women hundreds of dollars a month for podcasting advice. And then another email came shortly after that, like right after that, and it says, yeah, I've been podcasting since 2009 and I'm on Wikipedia for my work. You're nobody. Go spam some other suckers and don't email me again.
Oh.
Yowza.
So this got Jess really riled up. I have to say, Dave, that I was not so upset about this, but she was a little bit more upset because, you know, whatever.
I'm a hater.
I know.
It's really good.
I'm not accustomed to hate mail. People are generally, I don't know, maybe they're afraid of me or nice to me or I don't know. We really want to know, what would you do if someone said you're nobody?
Yes, absolutely. I think that
would you respond? Let's end it there, shall we?
Yes. No, I know. I totally get it. And right. I think that, yes, we want to know if somebody says that. And also the other thing, too, it's like we've been, you know, supporting women's voices for so long. We have been, you know, we're doing She podcast for 2 years. I've been in the space for a long time. Jess has also been in the space for a long time. And we've never really sold anything. I mean, Jess did. I mean, you did Podcasting School for Women last year. But still, it's I just find it really interesting that she just wanted to be on the direct. I don't know, whatever. But Annie, what do you think? What do you think? You're nobody and feeling the hate people asking for our expert advice. I know that
because
this is
first of all. Yeah. I also want to know, like, do you research the person and go, I'm nobody, you're nobody, and compare like your nobodyness. Because that's what my instinct was to do, is to
research the heck
out of that person and be like, wait a minute, what nobody is calling
me? I'll show you.
That's what I want to know. But I'm guessing you probably wouldn't give it much attention like Elsie did.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, anyway, we would love your take on
that. Yes. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. So
thanks.
I love that they send that in there. And
great way to send a question in, by the way. Sounded good.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And so I opted to go to the great philosopher T. Swift and, you know, said a hater is going to hate. And it is probably best to shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Yes. Shake it off. Yeah, exactly. Everyone together.
Shake it off, baby.
Yeah. So it's hard, especially when somebody says you're nobody. I don't know anybody likes to hear that phrase, because if we were nobody, we wouldn't. I want to go, look, I have a podcast. Where's yours at? You know, it is tough. If you're on a microphone, you have an ego. If you're not on a microphone, you have an ego. And so it's kind of tough. And, you know, so number one, anytime you're upset, I mean, there are times when I look back and go, probably should have waited 24 hours on that one. You know, I've said before, don't make a video. When you just watched an Odello video, that is not the time to make a video. And, you know, the whole thing about somebody, it sounds to me just like bad timing. You know what I mean? Somebody signed up for their Facebook group, and it just so happened at that time they said, hey, we just launched our course. You know, so to me, that also makes it sound like this person isn't part of their community. Because anybody that's been listening to She Podcast knows they've been working on this course. So, like, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if I'd signed up and got that message that, you know, so, and the fact that somebody's always, you know, some people are going to love you maybe more than you deserve. I don't know if that's the right way to put that. And people are always going to not like you when you don't deserve, you know, they're going to think you're a sleazy, whatever, you know, they're going to think negative thoughts about you, whether you deserve them or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. At a minimum, ignore them. Right. I mean, yeah. I think that's just ignore it. That's the best. Answering back or flaming back or firing back. Never. And this is one thing I'm emphatic on. Never pays off. Never, ever, ever pays off. Don't do it. Just not worth it. So let it go. I think ignoring it's minimum. Firing back with a very positive, a very apologetic. I am very sorry. You caught us at a bad time. We apologize. I completely understand. We'll do whatever. I think that's really the right way to go. And that's really hard. You got to swallow your pride and kind of say that, man, this, cause you know, you got to do it. I had a guy on Twitter and I was doing a lot of automatic tweeting and some stuff. And he was calling me on every single one that I was doing, like, this isn't you, this isn't you, you know, kind of deal. And
wow.
And you're, you know, putting you're advertising your podcast too much, that kind of stuff. And one day I just tweet, you know, he said, oh, hey, another tweet on this. And I'm like, you know, maybe it's time for you to stop following me.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, maybe it is. And we just ended it at that point. And sometimes you just got to fire you got to fire the people that are listening to you. You just got to let them go and just say, hey, you know what? We're not compatible. Let's not do this anymore. And just let them go. You don't want every listener, by the way. You don't want them all. So I think it's fine just to let them go.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to have every listener because, man, your show would have to be so just white bread, Melba toast, not offensive, you know.
Yeah, well, but I think you got to look internally first, right? So besides the haters, like the ones who are just flaming and give you no good feedback, there are times they give you good feedback. That's not hating. right? I mean, Fred's talking a little bit about this. That's just constructive feedback. There are times you need to fix things. There are times you need to speed up your podcast. There are times you need to not be so whatever you're doing that they're talking about in their comments.
Yeah.
Take them and change them.
Yeah. I had somebody send me an email that said, "Hey Dave, I just discovered your podcast. I think he went the gamut. I think he found Cliff and then found Daniel, which led him to Ray, which led him to me. Somehow, like, he ping-ponged around and said, I just want to let you know, yours is the worst website." And I went, "Yeah, okay." So I'm like, "Hey, thank you for the feedback. When can we chat? I'm going to be in the car for the next couple hours. Can we sit down and talk sometime?" So I was actually able to get him on Skype, and I think he said, "Yours is the worst," or something like that. And so I was thinking it was like, "You suck, you're horrible, blah, 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 your show's, you know." And I get him on Skype. He's like, "Oh, I love your show. It's awesome." He goes, "I'm just, when you compare websites, you know, yours is kind of bland." And I'm like, "Oh, whew, yes, I totally agree." You know, I said, number one, Daniel used to do website design. He still can. It's not like his main gig. And I told him, I said, "Go look at oncepodcast.com. I said, "That is an awesome looking site." Ray's over at Podcasters Roundtable has a lot of white space on it. I said, "Yeah, I think I'm a victim of front page creep." I've thought about redesigning my logo numerous times because it's so just 2D and it's, you know, just blah.
Yeah, 2D's in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's flat now. I was ahead of my time.
Flat and 2D is back.
So sometimes, so that was a case where I got that email and I'm like, "All right, well, let's see what this guy, let's go in with an open mind." Kind of like what Fred was saying. Sometimes they got a good point. And that is one of the things I'm looking forward to is now that I've moved the School of Podcasting's membership site off of to another site, I have a lot more flexibility to what I can do on the front page. And so that is going to be coming in the future as well. But I just picked up picked up Skype in this case and said, let's.
That's a great way to slow down a flamer, by the way, is say you want to talk personally about
this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because lots of people are really good at being email haters, right? But they hide behind the words in all caps and lots of exclamation points and long question marks. But you say, "Hey, you know what? I really value your feedback and I'd like to talk to you about this because this will be better than email." Like you said, in your case, one, they'll just disappear.
Yeah.
Or two, you can get some constructive feedback. And you know, email comes off so negative, right? It already has a negative tone, I think, natively built in. You know, when we read emails, we take them negative before we take them positive.
Yep.
You have to work hard to be positive in an email. Just type a regular email out. People will take it negative almost every single time. So, you've really got to work hard on that. And those negative criticisms, take them for what they're worth. You know, if you're asking for feedback and they're giving it to you, say, "Yeah, you know what? I've got," and Dave, in your case, you know, you're kind of like, "Look, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. If you're not okay with that, sorry, but that's what I've got. These are the resources and the tools that I have."
Yeah. That was his whole point, was like, "Oh, no, I'm not talking about your show. I'm talking about your website." And he's like, "You know, and I'm rarely at your website because I subscribe to you in the podcast app." So, hey, we got a caller ending in 5502. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jim. It's John Buchanan.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Good.
The question I have is, and I was just talking about this with other podcasters the other day. You were talking about how there's all these different businesses that are popping up now because of podcasting, editing. And now I find that I always say that editing services for podcasts now is almost like the lawn care service of the world for podcasting. Everybody's doing it. You can find there's thousands of them out there now. Not thousands, but a lot.
A lot.
Now, all of a sudden, I see a lot of, "I'll teach you how to podcast" people out there that have taken a podcast course. And now it's like a copy of a copy of a copy. And I guess my question is, as a podcast, because people are coming to you to kind of listen, and I know you have the School of Podcasting, but what do you say to podcasters that are trying to learn about not getting pulled into schools where the people that are teaching them are just, they've learned something and now they're just regurgitating it?
So what do I say to the person that wants to be a podcast coach or?
No, not the coach, but the people that are out there. I mean, almost like setting the trap. I don't want to use the word trap, but what would you say to find a good podcasting
right? Okay.
Tutor?
Well, number one, do they have a podcast? Because I have seen people come out of radio. And not to bash all radio people, but I remember one guy came out. It's like, I've spent 10 years, you know, with an AM radio show. I was blah, blah, blah. And he had no podcast. And I'm like, that's when I was like, podcasting is not radio and radio is not podcasting. There's good content in there, but hold on a second, time out. So, you know, do they have a podcast? You know, can they explain it? You know, because it's one thing to understand it, but can you? I had a teacher in college that I was taking a micro programming class, and it was all about code. And this guy was absolutely brilliant, but could not bring it down remotely any levels so that we could understand it. So that's the other thing. How do you avoid the snake oil salesman? That's a good one.
It's really hard, Dave. There's no like clear cut way. I mean, you got to do your research on these people. And when you're talking about it and you're telling people, it's tough because the real snake oil, it looks the slickest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, they spend an enormous amount of time on their outward presence as opposed to their content. I'm not saying their content's always bad, but you know, they'll have some if they're just regurgitating what they're hearing. They'll have good content, right? It's I think it's hard, you know. I think for us that have been doing this for a while, we get a little jealous when we see somebody pop up all of a sudden and they're like, "Oh, now I'm going to go teach people how to podcast." And by the way, I just started doing it, Dave. We've seen over the last year a bunch of people asking questions in forums who are supposed to be podcast experts, or they're at least teaching courses around podcasting, and that they're in the forums asking, "Hey, how do I do this?" And you're like, "Aren't you supposed to be the expert on this kind of thing? Aren't you selling that?" So that's tough, especially when we're doing that kind of stuff. So, John, I get that. I don't know if there's a true way to combat it except just be better than them.
Well, I just, right?
Just provide a better content.
Yeah, it's weird without throwing people under the bus. You know, I had somebody ask me, I think it was last week, and they said, well, you know, kind of like what makes you apart? I said, well, you know, it's kind of my job to know as much as I can about podcasting. And I said, this particular coach told all of his students for years, going against the people who make the product, in this case it was Libsyn, to use files as download only. I said, and I've been telling people, don't do that because the people at Libsyn said, this is a bad idea. And I said, and now, you know, Spotify is in podcasting. They'll be increasing their footprint in podcasting as time goes on. I said, but if you follow that person's advice, who didn't listen to other people who said this is a bad idea, I said, you're kind of screwed right now. You've got to go back and do a lot of work. I said, so my goal was to find out what I feel is the best solution at the time. Listen to those, you know, be open to listening to other people, I think is a key ingredient of any coach. And I will be the first to say, I don't know everything about everything. So you got to be able to listen to those that do know and then investigate that. That's the other thing I think I've started doing more this year. Is I will take somebody's answer, but I will go back behind the scenes to make sure. And I try to make sure anytime I have an answer, I can say, here's why I think this. And I will point to something and say, because of that. So it's not just always my opinion, but it is tough because there are, I mean, it's, I, you know, turn around. And my favorite thing is, I think I mentioned this, maybe last week, the week before, some people are coming to me now saying, will you promote my podcasting school? And I'm like, you kind of do realize I'm your competition, right? And it's like, look, I'm all from a mentality of abundance and there's plenty to go around. But on the other hand, I'm like, and they'll even say, I can't really give much back to you. And I'm kind of like, well, if you can come up with a win-win, I'll be more than happy to do that. But, you know, I just kind of want to go, why don't you just sign up to be an affiliate for the School of Podcasting? And then you can make money when I make money. It's like, it's kind of weird like that. But there are, I think there were three in the last 2 weeks that I saw brand new, you know, podcasting, whatever, PhD, coach, professor, school, university, whatever it was, you know. And, hey, come on into the pool. I did do last night I was playing with Overcast. Is that the one? It's orange and white. And typed in the word podcaster or podcast and was amazed at how many podcasts about podcasting that I was not aware of from like 2012 that basically never like came above the radar and had already quit. Like the one had one episode, like they put out one and that was it. And I was like, wow, okay. But it's good.
Dave, let me say, John, don't you think though, we're kind of on the bubble with this a little bit and it's kind of a phase and it will fade.
Yeah.
It's what scares me is I do editing for other podcasters. I do it. And I had someone that I was editing for yesterday and we had a problem and I had to get in the back end of her site. And she says to me, oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to start selling podcasting courses. And I was like, okay. Yeah. It's okay. And Dave, like you said about, as far as uploading your feed to Libsyn, that's how I was taught. I was taught just to go in and file for download and put your file in and click. And now I have to go back in and relearn everything from scratch. So, yeah, we're always learning. And I like the podcast community because, you know, we get together, talk podcasting, and people help you out. But I just find that a lot of these schools are popping up and they're trying to make money in the podcasting realm. And I just don't think that, you know, I have a problem with it, to be honest with you.
What? When the whole Adello thing came out, that was one of the things that really bugged me about it is people were like, this is the way to podcast. And first of all, I want to go and, you know, where's your podcast? What are you basing this on? And they were basing it on the fact that Adello had a phenomenal affiliate program and you could make a bunch of cash, you know, by promoting that service. And it's I was like, well, OK, you know, and that to me is the epitome of a snake oil salesman. They're doing it.
Do about it though, right, Dave?
No,
I mean, there isn't much you could do. They're going to do it. It's free market. They can make it happen. John, I totally get what you're talking about though, but especially in that editing space, because it is a little competitive. I mean, on your side too, you know, that's going to drive down the cost of editing as more people come in to be competitive in that. How do you feel about, as an editor, have you felt a little price pressure?
I don't know. And to be honest with you, you know, there's only so many hours in a day and you can only edit as a person. You can only edit so many podcasts. So, you know, I'm not worried about it because there's, like you say, there's a ton of people out there that are podcasting that want to be able to change that. And yet they just want to give their content over for editing. So I'm not really worried about them driving the prices down. Again, like you say, you get what you pay for. So I just put out what I have and then people listen to that, what I can do. And that's fine. But as far as, you know, there's tons of places to do it. Daryl Darnell does it, Podfly. I can't even think of them all, but there's a lot of them. And they all do good work. So I think there's more of that to go around. But you see the quality of it. You really don't see the quality of a podcast course until you're in it.
Yeah, you know, that's it. I'm reading a book now on word of mouth, yet another one. And they're mentioning about, we live in a like a freebie kind of society, or a free sample. You know, when you go to Saturday, when you go to the grocery store on Saturday, and would you like to try this little piece of pizza? And here's a little piece of here. Try our mustard. And we kind of live in a sampling society, they were saying. And I was like, I'm probably should come up with some sort of free sample. You know, here, take three. You know, here's three tutorials from the School of Podcasting for free. Just to let people, because like you said, you don't know if it's good. I can tell you all day long, if you come to the School of Podcasting and you don't like it, just let me know anytime within the first 30 days. You get your money back, no questions asked. But some people still want to touch it and smell it and, you know, sniff it before they sign up for it. So, but
yeah.
It's,
all right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I had somebody once talk me off the ledge because literally there were like three or four that had come in to, you know, like schools had come into, you know, podcast schools and courses and things like that. And I was like, oh man. And they're like, and I started to kind of like really focus on what they were doing. You know, one of my friends said, dude, you're Dave Jackson. Why are you worrying about this? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, you're Dave Jackson. And I'm like, to me, that means nothing. He goes, no, dude, you're like, you know, and he starts like talking me up, and I'm like, I don't see myself that way. And he's like, no, you're, yeah. He's like, this is like, you know, I don't know, Judas Priest worried about some garage band, you know, it's like.
Dave, you make a great point there. And I think Randy Cantrell talked with me about this off air one time. Randy and I were talking, and when you're in that space, like you don't hear the best. And this is, I think, what you're saying. You don't hear the best talking about their competition. They right. just talk about what they do. And I think sometimes we get insecure in those areas and we start talking about the competition. We just give it credence. And so, you know, I was this week, last week, Michael Hyatt was on Pat Flynn's podcast, and they talked about StrengthsFinder, which is really cool. You know, that's the product we sell at Gallup. And I was listening to that podcast, and you know, Pat Flynn and Michael Hyatt, they don't talk about their they are pushing. Oh, yay! Dave got the book. I'm glad.
Thank you,
got
by
it.
The way. I was going to say
you're welcome. And did you take it yet?
No, I was like,
okay. You've been busy.
Yeah.
You've been busy. Take it, and we'll talk about it on the show at some point. But those guys, especially like Pat Flynn, not really worried about the competition. He's just pushing forward. So I think there's a lesson in that. It's like, let the competition be the competition. If they're going to make it, they're going to drop out. If they're going to make it, they're going to make it. If not, they're going to drop out. Your job is to be better than them. So focus on that, and don't give them, you know, in pure competition, don't give them advertising by talking about them.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, you're in a little bit of a pickle that way, because you talk about your competition all the time, but you brought that in a spirit of, you know, co-opetition and talking about those things. So that's a little dicey in that. But, you know, if you're going to criticize these snake oil salesmen, don't talk about them.
Yeah. I used to, anytime I saw a podcast about podcasting, I almost always like brought them on my show. I kind of don't do that anymore, because they're just so many. It's like every show would be like, here's another podcast about podcasting. So, and the other thing, going back to this kind of all ties in today, the whole hater thing. I was so happy. I can still say nobody has asked for a refund from the School of Podcasting in the 10 years that I've been doing it. I have had somebody ask for the money back for my Podcasting in 6 Weeks course that I used to do. And it was interesting because, and this is where you kind of just got to let it go sometimes. Had a guy sign up. He went through, I think, all 6 weeks, and then asked for a refund. And I'm like, and I always say, if you have any questions, no questions asked. And I said, I am going to ask one question. And I said, you know, what was the deal? And he said, I just took Cliff's A to Z class. And then he took my class, and his complaint was, I didn't learn anything new. And I'm like, well, they're both kind of like how to get your podcast off the ground. I don't know really what he thought I was going to teach him, you know, because I'm teaching him about WordPress and RSS feeds and album art and naming your show and everything else. I just, you know, saved him, you know, probably $2,500. And so he said he didn't think any learned anything new. And I went, okay. And then I gave him his money back. I said, I do have, if you could, one more question out the door. You know, what could I have done to make it better? What were you expecting to hear, because maybe that's another product or something like that. He never answered. I would have loved to just, you know, bug him to death. Seriously, what were you looking for? But he wanted his money back. He wasn't happy. And, you know, I asked and, you know, so you try to make a bad situation as pleasant as you can, right? It's like, hey, thank you. I'm sorry, you know, that it didn't fit what you were looking for. You know, there was a part of me that I wanted to go, What were you thinking? It's the same class with a different name. So, you know, that case like that, I was like, all right, well, here's your money. Sorry, it didn't suit you. You know, I asked, he didn't answer. And he just kind of go, all right, well, I guess he's not, you know, he's got his money. He's happy and he's on his way. So, you know,
it's tough deal. No matter how you slice it, keep your head on, keep cool, be professional, you know, that's along it. Those lines. Dan Kramer had sent something in chat about, you know, he wishes he had, and I forget what how he phrased it, but you know, kind of a side gig of doing some podcast consulting. You know, I do a couple of those. I don't talk about them a lot. Just some friends of mine that I met through the podcast that said, "Hey, I wanted to do a podcast." And I said, "Well, let me just help you get started." And I've ended up being their audio editor in the process, and I help them with all the mechanics of it, and I charge a little bit for it. And I've learned a lot through it, doing it, and so. Let me encourage you in your networks, just if you've got people who are starting to do podcasting and they need audio help or some of those kinds of things, and they don't want to do it themselves, ask, volunteer to do it for them. I mean, Dave, that's not really a space you're in. They want to help starting their own podcast, and they want to do all the work themselves. Send them over to the School of Podcasting, and make sure you get that. By the way, if you're referring people to Dave, you should have an affiliate link with Dave, and you've got that available, right, Dave?
Yeah, schoolofpodcasting.com/partners.
Take money from Dave Jackson, yes. Right? Do it. He's got an affiliate link that will do that, and he'd want you to use it. But, lots of people need help getting started on those things. And for me, it was just a matter of helping them, you know, get the audio right and the mechanics of it together and the right kind of equipment and those kinds of things. So it's easy to do. Anybody can do it. You can do it. You can help your friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where, the audio editing, podcast consulting, if you can, you know, if you got people asking you, by all means. Last week's show, we had Gwen call in, and I had a couple of people email said, man, she had lots of questions. And I just said, welcome to my world. I mean, that's me on a daily basis.
She's a train wreck.
Yeah.
And you got so many questions coming all at the same time.
Yeah. And I just went, you know, so if you want to be a podcast consultant, go listen to last week's episode once I publish it, of course. And, that's kind of what you're walking into. And it is fun. She's I did an article in Podtertainment Magazine a while ago where it was instead of the three bears, right? One was too hot, one was too cold, and one was just right. She's a little too hot. She's ready to go right now, but you need to kind of go, oh, let's get the plan. What are we doing for that? And then you have the person that's too cold. It's like, well, they're planning to plan about the plan. So they can plan the plan, you know, and then you have the person that's got the right, they're excited, they are passionate, they've got their step-by-step, what they're going to be going through. So yeah, she was a lot of fun last week. So it's always fun when I, you know, and you run into those people on a regular basis, and it's great because I love the passion.
It's good to see the passion. Yeah, I was just going to say, great. Yeah. The passion is awesome. You know, you're just like, oh, I want to start a new podcast now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
hey, one thing I wanted to ask you about. Mr. Is it MVP?
MVP for Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a Windows MVP.
Yeah, we're going to take a minor break, but it still kind of ties into podcasting.
Yeah, I think so.
Windows 10 is coming out when?
Yeah, so Windows 10 officially will be released July 29th. So it's coming up. Microsoft has been the most aggressive they've ever been in their beta program about letting people test Windows 10 openly. And they've got millions of people testing this new version of Windows 10. And it's good that they do, because they are making a gigantic departure from Windows 8. So if you've heard a lot of bad things about Windows 8, most of them are true, by the way. Although I'm running Windows 8 on my studio PC today, the 8.1 update. And it's really just like Windows 7. Now. So there's no reason to be afraid of Windows 8 from that standpoint. But that being said, Windows 10 is coming in to correct a lot of the problems that the perception problems that they had with Windows 10. My recommendation for podcasters, because that's, I don't want to talk about it from a feature set or whether Mac is better than PC. I'm not interested in doing that. All I'm saying is, if you're a Windows guy, in other words, if your studio PCs are running Windows, Windows 10 is coming whether you like it or not. Now, they're not going to force you to upgrade. You can stay where you're at. You can be fine. In fact, my recommendation would be, on July 29th, they're going to ask a lot of people. And for the first year, you're going to get Windows 10 for free. So if you think you're going to go this route and you've got a licensed, a legit copy of Windows 7, Windows 8, whatever, you're going to be able to upgrade to Windows 10 for free, which is going to be great. But don't do it on day one. Okay, as podcasters, don't do that. Okay, that's a bad idea. There's going to be a lot of bugs. They are breaking things and fixing them fast. That's their mantra right now. And so if you like that kind of stuff, by all means, grab an extra piece of hardware. And right now, actually, the latest version, 10,130, that just came out, is the most stable build yet. And is you get a really cool look at the future of Windows that's coming in. And so, and it's available for free. I would install it on another piece of hardware. If you have an extra PC laying around that can support it, I would do that and bring it up and get a good look at it. But please do not upgrade your studio. Do not upgrade your equipment just yet. I think let's get into the fall. That free upgrade is going to go for a while. Let's get into the fall. Windows needs to get stable upon release. And then you can upgrade if you want to do it. There's some features coming. Not for the podcaster, there's nothing new coming that is really going to benefit you from a podcasting standpoint. Everything still runs. Audacity will run. You can still run Spreaker. You can still run Mixlr. All those apps are still going to work. You're going to be able to, you know, run all the Office stuff. There's some cool stuff coming up from a tablet perspective or the way it handles memory or the way it does storage. I mean, there's some cool things coming up with that, but for the most part, for us podcasters, really not a lot there that you're going to want to say, oh, I need to go to Windows 10 to get this. So you've been warned from a Microsoft guy, do not upgrade on July 29th unless you know what you're doing at this point. And by all means, if you can get an extra PC and get that on there and give it a try and try it in your system, right? Try it in your workflow before you get going. That's the best possible scenario that you can have going forward. So that'd be my recommendation with Windows 10. You can reserve it now, which is interesting. Microsoft has had this, they put a little icon now that will show up in the taskbar, the tool tray down on the right-hand side. And you can reserve your copy. Well, that's like reserving a table at a restaurant that has an infinite amount of tables, right? What does that mean? So you could do that if you want. And basically, they're going to download the bits to you a little bit early so that on the 29th, you have them available and you can turn it on and go on the 29th. Again, not recommended from this stand. Hear it from me. Not because it's going to be bad. It's going to be cool. I just think there's going to be some problems with it that day one adopters, if you're not a tech guy, there's going to be some frustrations with day one adopters that you're not going to be ready for. And I just don't want anybody to come back to say, oh, Microsoft did it again. No, we're warning you.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Right? Give it some time. Let's get into the fall a little bit, August, September, October. And again, anytime there's a major upgrade to anything in your workflow, you should be doing it on a separate piece of equipment and testing it before you even push it live into production. So that's what should happen anyways, Dave. So that's coming up. Just want to warn the podcasters.
And I was looking for it while you were talking. Ken Blanchard had sent in, and I don't know how he sent it in because there was no subject. And it was just an email. Like, he didn't send it in via SpeakPipe. And I'm going to try to paraphrase his question. His question was, he's got his new Blanchard Outdoors show. And Ken Blanchard, Black Man with a Gun, hilarious guy, super nice guy. And he was saying, you know, should I send people to iTunes? Should I send people to Stitcher? You know, which like subscription should I send people to? And I said, why not use something like a pretty link and send them to, you know, blanchardoutdoors.com/subscribe, where people can find the iTunes link, the, you know, Stitcher link, or the subscribe and Android link. Now, I know that's we're having more and more people jump onto to Todd's little tool there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And I thought that's a pretty decent way of doing that, because it is hard now as more and more things come out. You know, you want to have everybody on. Any way they want to subscribe, please subscribe. And I'm like, why not make one website with all the links? And then the other thing is have directions, because it's one thing. I mean, we're so knee deep into the woods. We can subscribe to anything, anytime, anywhere. Somebody new, you might want to say, you know, open up the app, click here, search here, you know, and take some screenshots. If you don't know, on an iPhone, to take a screenshot, hold down, what is the front button called? The front button?
I don't know what they call it.
Yeah, the little round thingy on the front.
I'm a Windows guy, Dave. You're asking me. This is like Satan. It's a Satan box is what you're talking about.
If you hold down the button on the front and push your on-off button, it will take a screenshot. So it's really easy to, and then from there, you just email yourself the photo, and you can then put that into WordPress and that whole nine yards.
Yeah. So little instructions are great.
Yeah, right? So
they're helpful.
Yeah, so instead of trying to send everybody everywhere, because that way it's easy. Anybody asks you anywhere, you're just like, yeah, go to just, you know, whatever your website is, /subscribe or /iTunes or /, you know, you could have, you know, different pages for each people. That way, instead of having one really long page, you could have, here's how to subscribe in iTunes, here's how to subscribe in Stitcher and things of that nature.
But let me answer a couple questions in chat here around Windows 10. So, yeah. Dan, let's see. Hold on. Let me find these here. So, a lot of people are saying that's why I switched over to Mac. Not bad. These are just platforms at this point. And if you like Mac, go with Mac. You know, you come a whole different set of problems, right? You don't get options. You buy what they give you. You might have three PCs. You get the option too. And if that you like that ecosystem and you want to go with Mac, then that's great. And if it works for you, use it. On the Windows 10 side with the new browser that's coming out. So Project Spartan is the name of it, but it will be called Edge. That will be the official name of it, replacing Internet Explorer. Notice they both start with an E, right? So not right now. It's at 0.15. It's at the .0.15 release. It's not even a one version yet, right? So don't use it. It does have an interesting feature, especially on touch devices, which the Macs don't have, except for an iPad. But that's not a real PC. You can write on the you can open up a browser window, write on it, and then send it to somebody. So say you want to show somebody something. Hey, it needs to be this. You can go there with your finger, draw a circle around it or arrows or whatever, and then hit share. It takes a copy of your of the browser and sends it to that person. A really nice feature, but man, it's early. So Project Spartan, not ready for prime time. I guess that's called the home button, by the way, on the iPhone.
Thank you,
Dave. And Jeff, yes, I do carry an iPhone as my daily driver. I was just kind of making a joke with Dave there. So the new browser's not ready for prime time. You know, again, don't use it yet. It's still got a ways to go, but I like it so far. I've been using it. I have a Microsoft Surface, Surface Pro 3, and this has been the most stable build so far. So I'm liking testing it and using it. It seems to be almost ready for some things, but we still got a ways to go. IE will no longer be developed. So if you're,
wow,
yeah, it's done.
It's weird to think because back in the day, right, Microsoft got sued because they had
90% market share.
Yeah, they had a monopoly with Internet back in the days of Netscape.
Well, hey, Liz, there's going to come a day, right, where the iPhone becomes the attack surface of choice and Apple will have all the same problems that, and actually maybe not. It's going to be Android. There's been a lot of talk, and I was listening to Mike Dell this week talking about Android. Hey, you need to pay attention to Android. By the way, Android people don't buy anything. So, Mike, I'm not so sure we need to pay as much. If you're looking for paying customers, Android customers don't buy anything. But that being said, Android will probably be the new attack surface of the future. So I think 10 years from now, we'll be saying the same thing about Android that we're saying about Windows right now. Yeah. It's vulnerable and, you know, Google's not doing enough development on it because there's 2 billion devices out there with Android on them and it's growing rapidly. I mean, Microsoft got to 1.5 billion with Windows and it kind of stabilized at that point. It's growing, but not that much. Android is just starting to grow. So I think we're going to continue to see gigantic. Well, and there's only 7 billion people on the planet. So we can't go too much beyond that unless we're talking about everybody carrying 2 or 3 devices. But I think we'll be talking about Android the way that we talk about Windows here in the next 5 to 6 years. You know, it's just not, it's just going to happen.
Well, it's always interesting to see, you know, technology change over the years and that whole nine yards. I'm seeing in the chat room, they're saying I don't have the current. I don't think that's true. The current.
AskThePodcastCoach.com/live.
Yeah. I'm like.
Yeah. I see the chat room's there. Just pop it out.
Yes.
Pop that chat room out. I think that's what he's talking about. The current hangout. Oh, the current hangout.
Yeah. I just updated.
No, you don't, Dave. It says 5:23. I wonder if people are listening to our May 23rd episode. They can't be because they've been responding.
I mean, I have. Okay, because I just updated the website again. So if you refresh it, it should be there. But speaking of technology, I was playing with this Overcast last night. They have a really interesting feature that if you're listening to a show, you can share it on Twitter, etc. But you can also share it at the current time, which is kind of a clamor kind of thing. So if you hear something like, oh, this is cool, instead of saying, hey, at the 18-minute mark, go listen to this, you just click that. And I guess Overcast has their own – I know they have their own kind of directory, but they also – like from what I understand, and I need to dive into this, Overcast, you can listen to your podcast subscriptions online. It's like – it's kind of like iTunes – you have you can sync iTunes with your phone. I've never done that, but this you can actually use the app, and then wherever you're at, if you're not somewhere where your phone is, maybe you're listening at work, you could actually go to Overcast, sign into your Overcast account, and there's all your subscriptions, and you can listen on the web. So it's kind of like Stitcher, I guess, in that aspect. But I thought it was interesting because then every episode, it's still pulling. They're not hosting your file, but they have all the information from your RSS feed. And they have the ability now to link to a specific time. So that seems to be like the new cool tool is this time linking where people can click on that
to the specific time.
Yeah.
Like say, hey, I want you to listen right at this moment. Yeah, no, that's super helpful. I'm anxious for Clamor to get a better interface to, because right now it's just in seconds. So you kind of have to think, okay, I got to multiply that times 60 and carry the one. And, you know, you're just, it's a little harder. Parviz said they're going to fix that coming up. You know, I had him on my show a couple weeks ago. The other cool little Easter egg they've been put in there, I don't think anybody really uses this. There's messaging inside of Clamor. So you can message people in there. So that's that part. I was like, oh, I had no idea this was in here. So it's pretty cool.
The thing that's killing me with Clamor is I'm always like, somebody will have like the perfect clip. Like, here it is, the perfect clip. And I want to get rid of that at the end. And trying to back up a second. I must have spent a minute and a half yesterday, and I finally was like, screw it, post it. And I was just like, it's the perfectionist in me that hates having that. And I wanted to get the maximum impact from the Clamor, and I got to email those guys and go, you got to come up with something, because I was really ready to just punch my phone. But hey, we got a caller calling in here, ending in 7825. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave and Jim, this is Michael Ray. How you doing?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. I had a couple questions. One was about Twitter. I know if you're an email and you're trying to send an email out to, like, say, an ADHD group or something, and you got 10 people in there, and bam, you can send it all out. Can you do that with Twitter? I did not know. And also on WordPress, my website, I got a Skype button, and I'm trying to figure out how, if somebody pushes that Skype button, it will go to my Skype. Two things I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, with the first one, the way Twitter works, people that follow you will get your tweets, assuming they're on Twitter at that point. Twitter's kind of an odd little beast, because so many people are tweeting so fast that – you know, they can kind of go back and look at your stuff if they want to. But in terms of comparing Twitter to email, it is so apples and oranges, because an email is there for you to see whenever you want. And I guess in theory, they could go back to your Twitter page and see your previous tweets. But it's not like I want to tweet. Well, I guess you could direct tweet a bunch of people, but it's not really like a list kind of thing. It's usually you just blast it and whoever's following you gets it. Jim, any other insights on Twitter?
Yeah, no, right on. I would never anticipate having communication with people that would be consistent on Twitter. It's just like if they happen to see it. Now, I'm surprised. A lot more people see my tweets than I see theirs. So I think I've subscribed to too many people, or I follow too many people. So you have to be careful of that, too. I think Twitter's benefit is search. So hashtags are really what it is. And if people are following those kinds of hashtags, I definitely would see, oftentimes I tweet with key hashtags that get picked up by people who are auto following certain hashtags for retweets. So that's an advantage on Twitter to help get it out. But it is definitely, Twitter's the shotgun of communication, and it's a really short shotgun, right? I mean, that blast radio radius is gigantic. So I would never bank on Twitter for anything. Anything you get out of Twitter, I think, is great.
Yeah. And then in terms of Skype, let's go back. Let's backtrack a second. Why are you putting a Skype button on your website?
Well, I was thinking that maybe, you know, because all your social media buttons up there, I thought, well, if they hit that Skype button, I'm thinking that maybe they can go to my Skype and start calling, or am I wrong?
If you have a Skype account that gets voicemail, which I think they kind of all do, I'd have to think about that a second.
Yeah, right. I think they do.
Yeah, so it would basically be a way to get voicemail. I
never thought about doing it that way, where you basically they would need to get accepted into your contact list before they could communicate with you.
Yeah,
so you could put your Skype ID out there. They would need to send a contact request. You would have to accept it. Then they could call you at that point. So
I would go
a little clunky.
Yeah,
that's a little clunky.
Yeah, I would go more with a speak pipe kind of thing, because they can click on that and they're good to go. You know.
I got the speak pipe on there. I kind of messed it up and got to redo it, but I got it on.
Yeah, and then you could always
speak pipe does work good.
You can always use something like Google Voice or podcastvoicemail.com to if you want to get a phone number. And then, you know, so if somebody's on their phone and you make that let me think about that. I think most phones now, if they see a phone number, they're clickable. At least I know on the iPhone it is, which makes it easy to call.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure Skype would be my recommended choice of getting feedback, because it's like Jim said, you got to go through all those hoops to – you got to be on my list and their list and approve that and things like that. So I know Skype has a – you can have a Skype in number, but if I'm going to have a Skype in number, I'll just go get a – you know.
Just use Google Plus.
Yeah, Google Voice. And
cheaper. $3.99 on Skype, by the way, if you do want minutes – in the U.S., $3.99 gets you a kind of unlimited U.S. numbers and a phone number to use. So I just purchased that the other day. Actually, yeah. I purchased it, Dave, to do the show, 4 weeks ago when I hosted the show. I used Skype to call in to Blog Talk Radio, and then I used Skype as one of my inputs, and I ran that with a virtual audio cable. But so that's not terrible, $3 if you want to get that Skype number. And so, yeah, that's kind of how Skype works. Yeah, no, it's good stuff, Michael. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate it. Good hearing from you.
No problem. You guys take care. Thanks, man. Right, appreciate everything you guys do.
All right.
Thanks.
You bet, man. Take care.
You bet. Bye.
I did have a question here. This was from Paul Phillips. I got this last night. I'm going to start a podcast soon, but I'm struggling with a name for the podcast. My wife and I have started a subscription box. I'm going to sneeze sometime in the next like 10 seconds, just so you know.
Just mute it.
my wife and I have started a subscription box service with Kentucky products delivered monthly, and I've gotten the chance to meet some of the people behind the products that we are curating in our box. The cool thing is it seems like everyone has a story, and I want to share those through a podcast. So I have seen your advice to keep it straightforward but catchy. All I can come up with is bluegrass business or Kentucky business. This covers the straightforward part, but it seems kind of blah to me. Am I overthinking this? Any advice? And I'll let you want to take a stab at this one?
On the name, huh?
And I was like, it's a business, like monthly, you know, sign up and every month we'll send you a box of stuff from Kentucky.
Yeah.
But what do I call my podcast?
There's a service that does that already. So I would make sure, you know, you can get it's women's clothing and
there's a bunch
jewelry.
Of them
there's stuff like that. So be careful not to name it that, because that's already happening. I would say this is a perfect, Dave. You give some good advice of ask the people around you.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I was thinking of doing this. What would you call it? And just write it down, right? Top of mind responses and just see what they say. And then I would aggregate those together in maybe no more than three words on that. So maybe four at the most, and run with it. I don't have any ideas on there. I don't understand that business model, but I mean, I do.
Yeah, it's that exactly. I always say, come up with a name, say it to people like, hey, I'm going to call a podcast Bluegrass Business. What do you think it's about? And then see if
doesn't do it, right? Bluegrass, what? Okay, I understand it's bluegrass business, but that doesn't mean anything. Neither does Kentucky business, by the way.
Yeah, because bluegrass could be music.
Right.
Right? Right. You got a bunch of and if you say Kentucky business, now you've now on one hand, right, if you go super niche, you know, that's, you know, people in Kentucky are going to go, hey, they're talking about me. But on the other hand, right, if you ever want to venture out and talk about West Virginia business, well, now you're stuck because you're doing Kentucky business. So,
and what are the items that are in these boxes?
He doesn't say. It's products from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
There's something creative in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm like, so.
I have to think about that for a while.
Yeah, that would be me. I think that would be my advice. Number one, you know, the world has waited however long for your podcast this far. So many people are like, oh, I got to come up with a name by next week. And I'm like, or the world blows up, you know, you've waited 6 years so far. Why is all of a sudden you have to have this just now? And I love, you know, deadlines, because they do give you that sense of urgency, but I've seen so many people make really bad decisions because it's got to be out next week. So, but,
Tim says Bluegrass Monthly. That doesn't, Bluegrass Box or Bluegrass or Kentucky blue. I don't know.
Nah. Yeah. Because then it sounds like a grass, right? Isn't there a Kentucky bluegrass?
Bluegrass is a great name, though. I mean, that's got such good connotation to it. If you can take advantage of that always, I think for me anyways, good feelings. Like you think of Kentucky bluegrass and you think of big green open fields and horses and Kentucky Rolling Hills and that kind of deal. So, well,
and then you hear banjo music in your head, and there is no such thing as, like, you can't sing the blues on a banjo. Like, it's like ding, 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 ding. It's like, oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder. It just doesn't work. So thank you, Steve Martin, for that joke, by the way. I can't take credit for that.
That's good. Very good.
You said you had a Periscope story.
Yeah, maybe we can wrap it up with a Periscope. And you know, if you haven't used Meerkat or Periscope yet, they're both now available both on the Android and iPhone platforms. They were on each other for a while and moving around, but they're available on both now, so you can try them out. Basically, one-way instant video on the phone, wherever you're at, as long as you have a connection, and you can blast your video to the world, and people can watch it on the world, and you're taking advantage of some great cameras. If we think about the Galaxy S5 or 6, or we think about the Note 4, we think about the iPhone 6, even the iPhone 5, they've got great cameras on them, and so you get really good quality. Ray has been taking advantage of Periscope over the last couple of weeks, and he's done some unboxings, and we found one of the things we did this week, Mike Wieger and myself on Home Gadget Geeks. We're live on Thursday nights. I should say at theaverageguy.tv/live to be just official there. But what we've been doing is going pre-show with Periscope and just letting people kind of watch us set up as we're getting ready for the podcast and having a conversation with them. And this week we actually had, we tried Home Gadget Geeks pre-show. Nobody joined that, right? It was not, you know, right. We got a couple people and they were gone the second they got there. We put monkeys with microphones, right? Holy cow. We got five or six people to join right away. I think at one point we peaked at about 25. And everybody was like, where's the monkeys? Where's the monkeys? And so Mike drew a picture of a monkey. It looked more like a bear, unfortunately. So nice. We called it the bear monkey. And then he brought in a rubber turkey. He brought that in. We were just having kind of fun with it. And there's a feature where you can hit tap on the screen and the hearts, and you get points for the hearts and whatever on Periscope. We did a little race to see who could get the most hearts in the thing. And we really created this fun engagement. And then we're like, hey, we got to go now because we're going live Gadget Geeks, right? Why don't you come over and join us? And we had two people, one local to Omaha, one in Wales, jump in our chat room, and one stayed through the whole podcast. The one in Wales had to go to bed because it was really late.
Right. So you're your own lead-in, basically.
Yeah, it was actually a really cool way to make engagement with an audience that, and one of the gals, Betsy, who was from Omaha, she doesn't live very far from me, but I never would have connected with her if we hadn't gone out on Periscope. And Periscope's now got a feature where it shows you connections that are local.
Huh.
And so we've always been struggling. How are we going to use Periscope? How are we going to use Meerkat? I mean, it was like the discussion we had 8 years ago when Twitter came out, and everybody was like, seriously, 140 characters? This is the internet, for God's sakes. We can push as much stuff as we want. Why would you limit it to 140 characters? Same thing with Clamor. Why would you limit it to 18 seconds? I think it's going to take time for like Clamor and Periscope for people to kind of find that niche and how it works. Mm-hmm. We might be onto something with this using it in a pre-show kind of scenario to draw people in, you know? So it was kind of fun. I mean, that was one of those things. I'm like, oh, hey, wait a minute. If we did this every week and we always talk about gaining customer, you know, gaining listeners, one listener at a time.
Yep.
This is one of those ways to do it. So if you haven't tried it out yet, Periscope, Meerkat, I'm finding better luck on Periscope than I am on Meerkat, but this just kind of depends on the networks that you're in.
Well, isn't Periscope the one that's owned by Twitter?
Twitter does own Periscope. Yeah, they bought that. Meerkat's independent. Meerkat, though, launched at South by Southwest and got a lot of traction early on. So
I keep hearing rumors that Meerkat's going to get purchased by Facebook. I'm like,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I would not doubt it. but kind of fun. You know, one of the things I've done is I've taken a boom arm, right? So this is one of those newer 15. I showed this on the show last time, and I put my, you know, I've used one of those WizGear magnetic mounts, and I put it on there. It's great for Periscope.
So awesome.
It's you saw how fast I pulled that out, right? Bam.
That's it. You're good to go. Cool. Awesome. Well, hey, we'll go ahead and start.
Great. Start Steve Martin quotes, by the way, going on in chat right now.
He's another guy that, like, you know, he'd been doing stand-up for so long, he quit. But I'm like, he and Eddie Murphy were awesome at stand-up. And, you know, just weird, wacky stuff. And, Steve Martin, man.
John says in the chat, if you don't come up with a name right away, no one will punch you in the face.
Yes. I'm waiting for my shirt to show up. I ordered mine from Ryan, so it should be here.
I need to get one of those.
In a couple days or so. We will have a brief after show today, because I'm having Elsie and Jessica, or I'm interviewing them at noon, and maybe I'll work with the chat room and you guys. We can make sure we got some decent questions ready for these folks. But I want to say thanks to the chat room. I should mention that if you want to join the School of Podcasting, use the coupon code ASK20 to save on your first month. We are here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv, and you can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And I think I already said this every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.